The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, broadcasting live from KCNR, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460. Had to get rid of that frog. AM. We are broadcasting live in downtown Reading. We are also streaming live on KCNR1460.com, and you can go to our archives if you go to KCNR. Or 1460.com, you can find the archives of this program. Listen anytime. If you have a question or comment, phone number 530-605-4567. And we're going to have an interesting show for you this morning. We're awaiting Mark Baird to call in. And those of you in Leonard Modi's district must have gotten actually two flyers this week recalling Supervisor Modi. One was about the Second Amendment. I found some things rather shocking in that. Here you have a person who was a police chief and someone who, quote, is saying that they uphold the Constitution. Yet, he voted against the California Rifle and Pistol Association when he did not vote for the Sanctuary Second Amendment County resolution. Not only did he not vote for that, but he also was involved in the fact that it can never be brought to light again. It can never be brought back up again in the Board of Supervisors without a quorum. You know, these are the kinds of things and reasons that we need to get rid of people like Leonard Modi. Also, during his time as police chief, all his time as police chief, he only issued 9 CCWs. And I think, Travis, there's what, 10,000 in Shasta County?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, that's okay. You're like my wife.
No, I was reading the chat. I got to catch up.
Anyway, yeah, so I think that, you know, when we start looking at these folks who have been voting against these constitutionally protected rights, it absolutely blows my mind how they can say they follow the Constitution, they love the Constitution, they agree with the Constitution, they took an oath to the Constitution, yet they never, ever, ever follow it. A lot of interesting things have happened in Shasta County this week. And as Nick Gardner's show, you should go back and listen to that. That's Poke the Hornet's Nest. It was on just prior to this show. They had some really good information about some things happening here locally. But I think the underlying message with a lot of the things locally is that people are really starting to wake up. And, you know, you have to really be proud of the Shasta County citizens who are standing up, going to these board meetings, going to school board meetings, and standing up for the rights of their children. And to me, I think that there's a real change in the air. There's a real change in the atmosphere of America right now. People are understanding that if we don't stand now, if we don't stand against tyranny now, that we don't particularly have a real long time to fight this fight. You know, I've heard people say, you know, on the outside we have maybe, you know, 6 months or maybe 12 months or maybe 20 months. People have court cases that they're going to be fighting for years and years and years. But really and truly, we just don't have the time in these local issues. And I'm talking about court cases where people are trying to sue school districts or, you know, sue counties. I mean, first of all, when you sue a county or you sue a city, you're suing yourself. That's all going to be paid off in taxpayer money. And they'll figure out some other ways to, you know, to raise money on you. You know, apparently, according to what I read from Viandale, they're going to be raising a tax called a mileage tax. I guess that passed. So you can only go so many miles, otherwise you're going to be taxed on that. I don't know how they're going to monitor that. Maybe you get a little gizmo for your car. And as he was talking on the earlier program on Poke the Hornet's Nest, it's very true. When you look at people who are being forced to have vaccinations, I mean, there's a lot of folks in our armed forces that are going to be leaving because of forced vaccination. You know, and it was also interesting this morning when those guys talked about how the vaccine was being worked on 2 weeks before anything ever even happened as far as the COVID virus coming out. So, you know, as we go through all these different things and try to understand what the government's doing to us, no wonder they want to take our Second Amendment rights. No wonder they want to take our constitutional rights. When I talked to the sheriff about 2 weeks ago, one of the questions I asked him, I said, you know, do you believe in the Second Amendment? And he says, oh, yes, I do. But, you know, when a sheriff, like our present sheriff, makes a comment about the fact that he believes in the right of the Second Amendment but will not allow an exposed weapon, how can you allow something on a right? Well, we have Mark Baird on the line, and Mark, welcome, my friend. We've been waiting for you to come on here. And hey, Wynn, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Good. So, Mark, what say you, my good friend?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, now we can. Yes.
Okay. So, is Wynn late today? Is Wynn just scuttling in right now?
Yeah, but he usually has a pretty good reason. I mean, one time when he was late, he really does. One time when he was late, I kind of questioned that, and he was helping a lady who was an older lady who was in distress on the way here. So, I mean, you know, it's just, yeah.
You know what? If I was late, that's exactly what I would have said.
No, he usually isn't. It's never done intentionally. Anyway, what say you, sir?
I'm just kidding.
Right.
Well, we deposed, I don't know if I've been on since this happened, but we deposed the state's expert witness in my Second Amendment case against the state of California. And I'll just give a real quick recap for people who may not know, but I'm suing the state of California for banning the Second Amendment legislatively. And that is Penal Code 25850, which says you may not carry a loaded weapon anywhere outside your house and exposed. And you may not carry concealed either. And there are a couple of exceptions. You can beg the government for a concealed carry permit, and they might give it to you, and they might not. And the Ninth Circuit says that it's not a right, and that governments can ban it or regulate it or do whatever they want with it, really. So there is another exception to 25850. Now, remember, 25850 is the ban on carrying a loaded weapon, period. Any concealed, openly, anywhere outside your house, that is banned. There are no exceptions to that. And then there is an exception also in Penal Code 26150 and 155 for concealed carry if you can beg for permission from the government and if you can convince somebody to give it to you and if you can pay and if you can go to the training and all this other stuff. There's another similar exemption in Penal Code 26150B2 and 155B2, where a sheriff or a police chief can grant permission to carry openly in counties with less than 200,000 people, but no sheriff and no police chief has ever issued one of those permits ever in the history of that permit scheme, which is about 10 years old or so, a little less than 10 years old. So I sued California because, of course, if it isn't unconstitutional, it should be to ban an enumerated right, and it's time for the court to tell us whether that's lawful or not. So the state has an expert witness who they claim is all-knowing and all-seeing with regard to Second Amendment issues, and we got his deposition last week, I think it was, or maybe a week and a half or so ago. And in that deposition, this guy, by the way, is a 39-year law enforcement dude. He was the police chief of Covina, California. And for a couple of years during his tenure, open carry of an unloaded weapon was still lawful in California. So he did have some experience with open carry of unloaded weapons, although he doesn't remember much of it. He doesn't know anything about open carry. Hmm. He doesn't know anything about any law enforcement jurisdiction outside of Los Angeles County, and this is by his own testimony. He doesn't have any experience with any problems that open carry had caused. He doesn't have any experience with concealed carry because during his entire time as a police chief, he never issued a concealed carry permit in his jurisdiction with the single exception of reserve police officers or retired police officers. And in his opinion, only law enforcement should be allowed to carry guns. And those are his words. So only cops should have guns, and ordinary people should not have them outside their homes, in his opinion.
Well, you know, there was a lot of things that you and I talked about yesterday and the day before. And I really wanted to play the song Feelings. After I talked to you, because, apparently, this particular police chief, is worried about people's feelings as far as what they may feel when they see, someone with open carry. Can you expound on that? Because I think it shows more of the liberal and progressive mindset of what some of these peace officers, if you want to call them that, have. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and it encompasses, by the way, more than just peace officers. This goes to a lot of people who mm-hmm. you are subjects of. And, mm-hmm. and by the way, we don't have constitutional republic anymore. We have some kind of weird dystopian monarchy where you are a subject, because this is how these people behave. They know you have rights. They weren't born in a test tube. They know that these rights exist. They know the Constitution exists, but they are willing to sacrifice all of your freedom and all of your rights on the altar of what they call public policy. And public policy, to a guy like Rainey, Tim Rainey is his name,
mm-hmm.
Public policy to him and to your sheriff, by the way, and probably to some degree every single sheriff and every single legislator in California. People have the right to feel things. They have the right to feel safe. Now, in order for them to feel safe, and mind you, this isn't a proven concept, feeling safe. This is simply an opinion, because anybody can say, well, I don't feel this or I don't feel that, and how can you counter that? So what Rainey says is, it is more important for people to feel safe than it is for you to have the right to defend yourself against evil. And if the general public, and he knows, he pretends to know what's in everybody's mind all the time because he made this statement, the general public has more of a right to feel something, feel safe, than you have to carry a weapon and be safe. So, and what I kind of wonder about that is, you know, when I'm walking from my car to Home Depot or wherever, Raley's Market, or wherever I'm going to go, are on any given day, do all of the people around me, are they wondering if someone has a weapon, and if they do, I don't feel safe? I mean, I know I don't. When I'm walking from the car to the store, I'm thinking about what I'm going to buy. I'm not thinking about whether I feel safe or not. And I doubt that 99% of the people who walk around with their eyes open most of the time during the day have that feeling. Well, I'm outside my car. I wonder if other law-abiding citizens have weapons, because if they do, I won't feel safe. I better call the police chief and tell him that I don't feel safe today, because a lawful citizen within 100 yards of me may have a weapon. So we've just got to feel safe. We had better all pass these laws, because otherwise, when you're going into the grocery store or the pharmacy or something, you may not feel safe. Now, we tried to ask Rainey how he thinks people would feel knowing that criminals have all the weapons they want anytime they want, because by their very name, they're criminals and they don't abide by the law. And he kind of, well, that's, you know, just another conversation. That's different, he says.
Wow. You can't make this stuff up, man.
No, you really can't, it's such a bizarro point of view. You know, when you're in your car driving around, are you wondering if you feel safe today? I mean, I don't. You know, and I'd kind of wager to say that probably 99.9% of the people driving down the road or going to the store or going to church or school or whatever, they're not wondering all the way there whether the person three cars away is a lawful citizen. Remember, we're talking about lawful individuals packing heat to protect themselves and their families, exercising their Second Amendment guarantees. That's who we're talking about in this case. We are talking about the ability of the average law-abiding citizen to exercise his God-given constitutional right to defend himself, his family, his community, his state, and his nation. That's what we're talking about here, because crooks are going to do what crooks do.
Yep.
No matter what law you pass, I don't care how you paint it, I don't care what you call it, I don't care what feeling you assign to it, crooks do what crooks do. And that's anything they want, anytime they want to, without regard to your feelings or your property or your ability to defend yourself from them. They don't care. They're going to kill you just because they want to. And they don't care what the law says. There's already a law against murder. There's already laws against robbery. There are already laws against felons packing guns around. They don't care. So our conversation today has to be about the law-abiding individual being able to protect himself from evil. And I just doubt Mr. Rainey's sincerity when he suggests that most of the population is running around worried about whether their neighbors have a gun.
Yeah, it's insane to think about that, you know. And you have people like, well, like with what Gavin Newsom tried to do. He tried to organize a civilian group of people to go spying and checking on any kind of situation where a person could have a, quote, you know, illegal weapon or, a an automatic weapon, something that would be, an assault weapon, if there is such a thing. Anyway, so, you know, and that apparently got stopped. But, you know, when you stop and think about what's going on in California and across the world, I mean, look what's going on in Australia. I mean, look what's going on, you know, in Canada. I mean, all these different restrictions with the virus, if you don't get the jab, you know, you're stuck and confined to your home. In fact, I believe in Canada now, if you don't get the jab, you can't buy gas and you can't buy food. I heard that this morning on a radio program. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I know in Australia because we have contracts there,
right.
And I won't go there anymore. Period. I just won't go. I'll quit my job before I would go there. They have literally internment camps.
I'll use
a better term. Concentration camps for people who are not vaccinated. In fact, they had a couple of teenagers escape last week.
Want to go to a party? Yeah.
And they engaged in a manhunt. They drug them back to the camp in handcuffs. And there's another example of some gal who went out on her porch to get some fresh air and the vaccine inside the concentration camp. And the guard came by, and they were really getting after her about getting off her porch. And she said, "You mean to tell me I'm not even allowed to come out here and have fresh air?" And they said, "What we're telling you is you had better behave, you had better mind, you had better follow the rules, or there will be consequences to you for not doing so."
And I think that's what they're going to want to do with the Second Amendment.
Well, they're already doing it.
They already are doing it, folks.
We don't have a Second Amendment
right.
in California. Penal Code 25850, and if you doubt that, put a gun on and go to the store, and you'll find out really quickly when 10 cops show up and their guns are drawn and pointed at you.
Yeah, it's insane to think that, you know, and you said it before, and I think this is a great statement, and that is, why is it the Second Amendment is the only amendment and the only thing, frankly, in the Constitution that you have to get permission for?
Well, even Justice Kagan brought that up, and she's a raging communist, and she brought that up at the New York Rifle and Pistol Association oral arguments. She said, "I find it contradictory that the Second Amendment is the only amendment you need to get permission to exercise." Now, she will vote against the Second Amendment because that's her deal. You know, she owes whoever her masters are, whoever got her in there, I don't know. But she even said that. She even expressed that that concern. But there is a ray of hope here, guys. We're going to win this lawsuit. Now, the only open question is, to what degree will we win it? I don't think the Supreme Court, even with the people on the panel now, have the backbone to to strike down all permitting processes for weapons. I don't think they'll do that.
You know,
they lack the courage to do it. But what they will do, I believe, is they'll remand this case and they'll strike down may issue provisions of permits. I think they'll strike that down, and that if states have a permitting process, and mind you, 21 states don't require a permit of any kind. They have constitutional carry. Now, this is funny because my attorney asked Chief Rainey, Chief Rainey, do you understand that 45 states have some form of open carry? No, I didn't know that, he said, because he admits he doesn't know anything about weapons carry. He doesn't know anything about the Second Amendment. He admitted that. His deal is public policy. And public policy, by the way, that's the rules as they make them up at the time because they want to. That's what public policy is. And that goes back to the, we want people to feel safe, as though people don't feel safe, you know.
Hey, Mark,
so we
have a caller on the line, and I kind of wanted to get him in before the break. Okay. Steve, what say you? Steve, what, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, you have to turn your radio down.
Right.
Okay.
Hey,
I have about 3 minutes, okay? Go ahead.
Right, really, really, really quick. I don't want to take any of Mark's time. But as far as feeling safe, you know, they just convicted 8 or 9 Antifa guys down in San Diego and L.A.
Good.
So Antifa's going to react to that. And, you know, walking across the parking lot to Raley's or something, I'd feel a hell of a lot safer if a few of us were carrying. And I don't give a damn about the the rights of the sheriff to give or not give. I will carry if I feel threatened, and that's my constitutional right. And God gives me the moral and the moral values and integrity to carry and take care of my country, the oath that I took as a combat veteran. Thank you very much for y'all.
All right, Stephen. Yeah, thanks for calling in, buddy. Mark, we have about 2 minutes till we have to go to our break. You know, and you've made the comment how the police can't protect us. Can you give us a, you know, maybe start with that, and then we can finish up after we take the break. But I think that's such an important issue that people, with a lot of new people listening to this program, that's an important issue that people don't really realize, that the police don't have any obligation to protect us, do they?
No, they don't, and that goes to the people feeling safe in public policy. The police have no duty and no responsibility, nor does any government agency, to protect you from crime, violence, or anything else, for that matter, and there are about 10 Supreme Court cases that I can quote after the break to prove that. So the Second Amendment is your ability to protect yourself if you are free to exercise it, but in California you are not, because the right of the people to feel safe trumps your enumerated right to be safe.
You know, that sarcasm is great, and it's so true. You know, I also, after the break, we can go into that, and I also don't want to forget about what's happening with the case in New York. So with that, my good friend, if you would hold over with us, we'll go to our break, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Dedicated to Rainey, right, Mark?
Yeah.
You like that? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Unbelievable. I mean, we've gone so far down this track. Anyway, we were talking about how the police don't really have any kind of legal authority or are obligated or have any consequences if they don't help you, and they really can't help you, and they don't have to help you. I'd like you to expound on that, and then we could go into the New York case. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, Ballesteri versus Pacifica Police Department, Ducheney versus Winnebago County, Risk versus New York, Martinez versus California, Warren versus D.C., blah, 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 all say, and California Government Code 821, 845, and 846, and we also asked this of Rainey. We said, do you realize that California Government Code explains that the government has no right and no duty and no responsibility and will suffer no liability for failing to protect you? And you know what his answer was? The expert, the police chief, 39 years in law enforcement. I think I might have read something about that somewhere, he said. But he doesn't really know, because he doesn't know anything on the subject. He has no expertise in the Second Amendment, none whatsoever, yet he is out there. He was the guy, the expert in the Flanagan case. And here's the tell-all for Rainey. The attorney asked him, do you think people have the right to self-defense? Yes, I do, he says. Do you think that right occurs in the home? Oh, yes, I do, he says. Do you think that right attaches to the individual? Yes, I do. Do you think that right extends beyond the home? No matter where the individual may be, does that individual retain the right of self-defense? The right of self-defense, that was the question. Yes, I do, he says. Would you, and yet, she says, you've never issued a permit in all your time in law enforcement. No, I haven't, because it is, oh, and then she asked him, do you think that if a person were attacked, if, let's say, a small woman were attacked in a parking lot, and she used a weapon to defend herself, killing her attacker, there's any benefit to having that weapon? Oh, yeah, he says, there is an individual benefit to having a weapon for self-defense, but we cannot allow the people of California to carry weapons because it's bad public policy.
Unbelievable.
So an appointed official says, we, meaning he, himself and the elite ruling class whom you are subject to, cannot allow the people of California to carry weapons because even though it may benefit you as an individual to be able to fight off an attacker or protect your wife or your children from an attack, and you might die if you fail to protect yourself, it is bad public policy. It's more important that people feel safe than it is for you to retain the ability to be safe and to protect yourself. And that's what they really think, and that should scare the dickens out of everybody listening to this broadcast. You must abdicate your right to fight off evil so that some person you don't even know, and you don't even know what they're thinking, and you don't even know if they're thinking this. All you know is that the government tells you they're thinking this, that they'll feel safer because you don't have the right to protect yourself anymore in California.
Yeah, the and there was an update in the New York case about a week ago, and there are a lot of people who don't know about that. Maybe you could expound a bit on that, too.
Well, the New York case went to oral argument, and in that oral argument, at least five of the justices issued a scathing rebuke to the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And in that rebuke, and I've listened to those oral arguments probably 10 times now because I didn't want to miss anything that anyone said, either pro or con. I wanted to have all that information prior to our deposition. New York, the state of New York is going to lose. Now, what I started to get to before was, to what degree will they lose? Because, you know, the justices could do anything here. They could strike all permitting provisions as unconstitutional, which they should, because they are unconstitutional. You can't turn a right into a permission, and if you ask permission, it's not a right. It's a permission. So, but I don't think they have the backbone to do that. I think they lack the moral courage to do that. What I think they will do is they will enable government to keep track of all their perceived opponents, which are the free citizens of the United States. By the way, we're the opponents of government all of a sudden. And they will keep the permitting process in place, but they'll make it shall issue. And so New York's permitting scheme is very similar to California's. It has geographical restrictions. It has just cause restrictions. It has overly expensive and burdensome training and the registration restrictions and paperwork problems, and you have to ask a single state actor with no right of appeal. So their permitting process is a lot like ours. And when the state of New York loses, California will lose. Now, what we're going to try to do is maximize that loss in order to try to regain some of your liberty for you, because we've squandered our liberty in California. It's gone. We're not trying to preserve it. We're trying to get some of it back again, and it's a really an uphill job. And while I got you on that topic, please help me. We're running out of money. I managed to pay half the last lawyer bill, but I need to raise money to pay the other half. And you send your donation to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, 96003. Make the check out to Pecan, like the nut, and on the advisory line, put 2A.
Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that again? 14421
Old Oregon Trail, Redding, California, Suite B, zip is 96003. Please make your check out to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, and then on the advisory line, put 2A so that the charity knows which case to attribute the money to. There is no paid staff. I don't see the money. I don't touch the money. I don't even know how much money's in there at any given moment. But 100% of the money goes to one thing and one thing only, and that's to pay the lawyer bill. And by the way, my attorney is being very generous here. So we are not paying her near as much as she normally gets, and she doesn't bill very often, but I just got a fairly big one and I need to get her paid because her family needs to eat too. So help with that. But notwithstanding that, if you want your liberty back, we have the opportunity to get some of it for you. And everyone in California will benefit from this, not just me. And I think it's important to send a message to the king of California, Gavin Newsom, because he's got a new scheme now. Now that Texas has banned the heartbeat abortion, and I don't know what that case involves exactly, but he says we can use the Texas abortion case to get rid of all guns in California. I don't know what the two have in common, but he thinks that that case can be, quote, used so that private individuals can sue anyone that manufactures, makes, sells, transfers, or otherwise engages in the activity of making weapons, ghost gun, AR parts, automatic weapons, assault weapons, and any other weapon he wants to throw in there. So you're going to have every crackpot in California suing Remington and Colt and all the other gun makers and parts shippers and parts dealers and parts sellers over their weapons parts. And that's coming next, because he cannot stand the fact that you may have the liberty to defend yourself, because if you don't beg the government for everything you have and everything you need, then he is not happy. You are a serf and a subject to the crooks and liars in Sacramento. And if you'd like to stop that, please help me.
Yeah, and folks, the pecan, by the way, is a 501c3, so your gift is tax deductible. And, you know, not that that really means anything. I mean, the real deal is that this is a case that we actually have a really good chance in winning. And, again, you know, if you can help Mark with this, he started it himself. There's been a number of people that have helped with fundraisers and things of that nature. The money has been spent wisely, very wisely, and, you know, I'm excited about that. I've met Mark's attorney. She is amazing, just an amazing attorney, and really doing this in a way that it's very reasonable and fair. Also, you know, Mark, you were talking about how Newsom is trying to piggyback one on the other, and it's all about getting rid of the guns, because if they get rid of the Second Amendment, we have no protection for anything, number one. And number two, if anybody knows anything about that Canadian situation where they're now saying that if you, in Canada, if you are not vaccinated, you cannot buy gasoline and you can't buy food. Now, I'd like to hear if that, if anybody has anything on that, or anybody could, you can call in and let us know. I did hear that on the program this morning, and I'm trying to verify it. So, Mark, when you, you know, in this case, if it does go to shall issue, we have a term called constitutional sheriff, and we keep hearing that being thrown around. And I know that Sheriff Mack, Richard Mack, is using that as a brand, and it's good. I mean, I understand the brand, but shouldn't all sheriffs be constitutional? Don't they take an oath to it?
Well, all sworn public officials take an oath to it, not just sheriffs, but... You know, I got some bad news. There are no constitutional sheriffs. There isn't any such thing. If you doubt that, I know you've already done it, but go talk to your own sheriff and see what he thinks about issuing a lawfully constructed permit. The legislature has instructed sheriffs in counties of less than 200,000 people that they may issue open carry permits to lawful citizens who can pass a background check. Go ask him to give you one if you think he's constitutional. And he won't do it, because no sheriff ever has, not mine, not yours, not any of them. So that's what we want to strike. Now, we have some opportunity here, because even if the Supreme Court order shall issue instead of striking permits in general, now Chief Rainey said that, you know, north of Fresno, because north of Fresno to Chief Rainey, that's country bumpkin land, he says, we can never allow people in California to carry weapons. It's bad public policy, especially, now listen to this part, if you want to hear a racist talk, especially in coastal and urban California, because people have the right to feel safe. Now, he says, in counties, north of Fresno, because those are rural counties north of Fresno, everybody knows that, and he says that, now, those people up there So you're part of those people, by the way. I think that's what the Nazis started to call the Jews in the beginning. They didn't really call them evil. They just called them those people. Those people up there might be more used to it. It might be a little different up there because of those people. That's what Chief Rainey thinks. So we have a real opportunity here because all of our permits are constructed on geography. So if the Second Amendment is turned into a shall issue permit from a may issue, I'm laughing because I find that just ludicrous, but then we have the opportunity, in my case, to strike the permit because it is also dependent upon your geography. If you live in a certain place, you can be allowed to exercise freedom, but if you live in another place, you can't. So there's an opening, number one. Number two, the distinction of having your gun inside or outside the house. Because Rainey said, when asked, are you familiar with the term constitutional carry? Now, you know he was lying when he said this, so he perjured himself, but he doesn't care, and neither does the judge. Are you familiar with the term constitutional carry? He says, yeah, I think I've heard that. And Amy asked him, what does that mean to you? And he said, oh, I don't know what it means. He said, I don't know what constitutional carry means, even though 21 states have it. 3 more states may come to constitutional carry this year, and 45 states exercise open carry in some form or another. So we're talking about 7 states, New York and California included, and we have a real opportunity here to shatter this monarchy and put a wedge in the door where some liberty will pass back to the people if you help me. Please help with this. I can't do this alone. My wife and I are not wealthy enough to do this by ourselves.
You know, Chris Ann Hall and Sheriff Mack have made this statement, and that is when you are going to talk to your sheriff, who should be constitutionally minded. I think I like that better, rather than constitutional, but constitutionally minded. You don't accept excuses like, I have to enforce the law, because the sheriff's obligation and oath is to support and defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, and your sheriff's duty is to preserve liberty. That's what his duty is.
Well,
it overrides any and all obligation to, quote, enforce the law.
Well, they're lying if they say I have to enforce the law, because Penal Code 26150B2 gives the sheriff the lawful authority to issue permits to openly carry a loaded firearm in counties in California with less than 200,000 people. So if he says, I can't do that because I have to enforce the law, he's a liar, because the legislature has instructed him that that permit is lawful, and all he has to do is issue it.
So if you don't really have a constitutionally minded sheriff, then frankly,
none of us do.
And frankly, that means you and your family aren't safe, folks. Your liberty isn't secure.
Well, if you feel safe, you must be safe, right? I mean, you know, and so ask the people at Nordstrom when 80 people smashed in the door and were just grabbing stuff and knocking people down and ran out of their cars. Oh, by the way, the district attorney in the county of Los Angeles said that criminals are really the victims in crime.
Can you expound on
that? That's what he said. Yeah, George Gascon, the district attorney in the county of Los Angeles, said that when we're talking about the increase in crime, criminals are the real victims, because sentence enhancements for using firearms, terrifying people, inflicting great bodily injury, those are all enhancements. In other words, if you rob a place, you have one mandatory sentence. If you rob a place and you kill the guy, then that is an enhancement to that robbery sentence, and you will get another. You'll get more time at it. If you use a gun in a robbery, the gun is the enhancement, and you'll get more time for doing that robbery. Well, he said that criminals are the real victims of that because, by and large, minorities are more targeted for these enhancements than white people are. I don't know. I think if you're an armed robber, you should be targeted with the enhancement, and I'll bet they are, no matter what their color is. I think that's a bald-faced lie on George's part, but you know, the decriminalization of crime affects everyone. And, boy, I'll tell you what, if you feel safe because your lawful neighbor can't carry a firearm, in the face of the crime in California, you're a fool.
Yeah, you know, the new mayor of New York, who is African-American, made the comment that he's going to, you know, bring back in some different task forces, that plainclothes police that are going to help keep things, you know, keep people safer. He talked about all these different things, and a leader of Black Lives Matter, also an African-American gentleman, made the statement that, you know, if this happens and he brings, you know, the police force back up to where it needs to be, that there will be riots, there will be blood in the streets, there will be fires. And this is common knowledge. It's been broadcasted all over the news. You know, you stop and you think about those kinds of comments that people make. Here, a leader of Black Lives Matter can make that kind of comment and threaten violence. Yet, here you have a guy like Carlos Zapata, who says a few things, the next thing you know, the district attorney is trying to, you know, is throwing $1 million at a case to where, you know, it's a nothing burger. It's something to where it's a misdemeanor. And I think the division that's being created, especially, I mean, in Black Lives Matter, they should be kind of talking to this fella saying, hey, you know, you're all over Fox News, you know, you're all over the news media talking about that if the police force is brought back up to snuff in New York and certain things are done there that did work before, then there's going to be blood on the highway. There's going to be fires. There's going to be riots. And that's inciting those things yet because of his position and who this guy is. He doesn't have any kind of consequences that he pays. And I think
liars lie.
Liars lie, that's right.
And the lowest crime rates are in open carry states, by the way. And the gutters are not running red with blood in any of the open carry states. This is all a lie to preserve their own position and protect their own job. And if you doubt that, just look at Zapata's case. I mean, that's clearly monarchy in the city of Reading dictating to the subjects and serfs how they'll live. And in addition to that, I want to make this point. Who is the first person to arrive at the scene of a crime, any crime? The victim. Who is the last person to arrive at the scene of a crime? The police. So the first guy to show up is the victim, just conducting his ordinary life. The second one to show up is the criminal, intent on mayhem or whatever crime he's going to commit. And a crime has to be committed before the police even get called. So there might be a few preemptive, in other words, if you paper the walls with policemen, that might preempt some crime, but most criminals are either too dumb or too evil to even ignore that, and they'll commit their crime right in front of a cop. And in fact, Black Lives Matter and Antifa were burning down cities all over the nation, and the cops were standing there smoking and joking, watching them do it.
Wow.
And never even intervened. I mean, everybody saw that on the news. You know, the CNN deal where the guy was standing in front of a burning building talking about how the protests were largely peaceful. If you wonder what part the cops had in the crime, ask Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, the first one to show up to the crime is the victim, and the second one to show up is the criminal. And once he perpetrates the crime, without the right of self-defense, there would have been a dead victim, and the cops were nowhere to be seen because they were told to stand down.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, think about that.
Wow, unbelievable.
That wow. It is believable. It's totally
it is believable, but, you know, it's just, we keep allowing this stuff. We just keep allowing it,
keep allowing it.
It's just...
That's right. Who was walking down the trail by Sundial Bridge when the kook came out with swinging the machete at him? I forget. This was a while back. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that can happen to anybody, anytime, anywhere, in any city in America, and do happen all the time. I mean, they may happen to a slightly lower degree in small towns and small cities, but they still happen. And when you look at the drugs that are prevalent and the fentanyl and the homelessness and the mental problems that we're experiencing now, particularly in the state of California, because there is no law enforcement anymore, and believe it or not, the government doesn't want to change that. All that's eyewash for the public. Oh, we'll just get rid of the guns and then we'll live in a utopian paradise. I mean, come on. You know, what are they smoking? There's more fentanyl here because the southern border is wide open. There's more fentanyl in this nation than there ever has been. And I was a peace officer, so I know what I'm talking about. You see this kind of crime, and it's rampant everywhere. And the only one that can't protect themselves from it is you.
Yeah, you know, by the way,
as a cop, I didn't have any trouble protecting myself.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help anyone else until after the crime was committed. And after the crime's committed, they're already dead or maimed.
They're already the victim.
Too late to help them.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, our DA, according to the program previous to this, poked the hornet's nest. It was stated that, I guess they... The Shasta County Board of Supervisors handed out raises left and right, and the district attorney here, I mean, even after lowering Modi's malfeasance to a misfeasance, even after some alleged situations, an old fire engine that was rescued, the car fire, and also with the fact that she spent $1 million at least on the Carlos Zapata trial, she got a 25% raise.
Well,
25%. I mean, 5% is good. 25%.
All I can say about that is you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
I mean, the liars and
the corruption
are in charge of the government here.
The corruption.
They are. Look around you. You have not the right nor the equipment to protect yourself from any of it. And, gee, guess what's going to happen next? Unless we win, unless we take our liberty back. And I'm trying to do that, and I think I can. I mean, based on the New York rifle and pistol case, and by the way, the new news is my case has been stayed pending the outcome of New York rifle and pistol.
Okay.
So that's why I concentrate on this fundraising. I have the opportunity here. I've got a couple of months. If I can raise a bunch of money, then when this thing hits court, I'll be able to proceed and we'll be able to finish this deal. But the judge lacks courage, and the case has been stayed pending the outcome of New York rifle and pistol, because that way Judge mm-hmm. Mueller can turn around and say, oh, the Supreme Court made me do it, you know, and she won't have to take responsibility for adjudicating the case. But that's okay, because we are going to win. It's going to be a couple of more months, June at the latest, by the time this thing comes out, maybe July. But then we're going to win this case, and we need to be prepared for that. Because we will regain some liberty. And if we can pull this off, we can look at the rest of California and say, we'll get you some more if you help us. And the only way, in the end, to fix this is form our own state and get away from these
people. I agree. We need the apportionment. We need to have representation. You know, and we need to have a constitutionally protected society. It's unbelievable to think that people just have surrendered this so much. And I mean, some of the stuff that you hear on these local programs in a lot of these towns, you just scratch your head and you go, these people have their heads in the sand. I mean, what are they thinking? You know, I mean, I heard praise on a local program where the host was praising an 11-year-old boy for getting the vaccine, which isn't a vaccine, so he could protect his family. I mean, and this guy's praising him for it. I mean, you scratch your head, you know, these great Second Amendment patriots. Are they? I don't think so. Mark, we have about a minute and a half left. You want to bring us home on this and maybe give the address one more time of where folks can send the money? And by the way, folks, it's tax deductible. If you could give that one more time, that'd be great.
The address is 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's what the Constitution says. Chief Rainey said that the Constitution says something about bearing arms, and when asked what that meant to him, he said, well, that means you can get a gun and you probably can keep it in your house. That's what the chief of police for a jurisdiction in Los Angeles thinks the Second Amendment means, and thinks that's what it means.
Wow.
So, look, folks, if you want your liberty back, you better step up to the plate, because we have a real opportunity here, but that window is not going to be open forever. Please help.
Yes.
And let's regain some liberty and show the state of California that they do not own us, and that we will not be subject to the rules of feeling safe, that we want to actually be safe, and we will exercise our enumerated rights either with their permission or without them.
Okay. Mark, thank you so much.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.